I want to bring a brief message tonight from Ephesians chapter 3, and tonight we're going to just look at the last portion of this chapter, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and I just want to speak to you briefly about the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ. And we sang a moment ago about bringing glory to His name, and I want to just speak to you about that subject right now. Ephesians 3:20 says this: "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray together. Father, thank You for the wonderful testimonies and for all of the great things You did today. I would ask You, Lord, to bless our final moments tonight, as we need to hear from You for our upcoming week. And then, Lord, this week, would You guide, direct, and bless our congregation? Would You help us, Lord, to have the power of which I'm about to speak? And would You use us as Your instruments in this valley? And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, tonight we wanted to take a few moments to give God the glory for another wonderful day in the history of Lancaster Baptist Church. And as we consider the subject of giving God the glory, I want to draw your attention to the book of Ephesians. There are two major prayers in this particular book that are made for the Ephesian church. The first prayer is what we would call a prayer for enlightenment. It's found in chapters 1, verses 15 through 23. And in that particular prayer, the Apostle Paul is praying that God would continue to give them understanding concerning the great truths that they had received by way of the Holy Spirit and by His Word. But in this particular passage that I read just a moment ago, we see not a prayer for enlightenment, which we all need, but we see a prayer for empowerment, which we all need as well. This is God's prayer for power in the church. And I want you to notice in verse number 20 that there is the provision of power for every believer. And I want you to be reminded of this. The Bible says, "Now unto Him," speaking of Jesus, "that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." When we think of God's power, we must always remember that it is our enabling supply. "Unto Him that is able." Did you notice that in verse 20? "Now unto Him that is able." Would you say that with me, please? "Now unto Him." One more time. "Now unto..." Now, if you sometimes feel a little inadequate, or you worry about witnessing, or you just feel plain tired, and you wonder, how do you go on? I want to tell you something. We're not able, but He is able. "Unto Him that is able." And it's okay when you admit and when you confess, "Lord, I'm not able, but Lord, You're able. And I want You to work through me and empower me and enable me." He is our enabling supply. Now, the word "that is able" speaks of that dunamis, that mighty power, that dynamite power that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, it doesn't matter if you're in fantastic shape, if you can run marathons, and if you have extra physical agility, you're going to someday run out of energy physically. And all of us come to the end of ourselves. But when we're walking in the Spirit and walking with the Lord and recognizing He's the vine and we're the branches, and when we are attached to Him and walking in Him, then this dynamite power comes to us and flows through us. And that all began when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We can do all things through Christ. And tonight, we have seen God do some wonderful things, and today we give Him the glory and the honor for that. But we recognize that there are many more things that need to be done for the glory of God. I've been thinking this past week and praying for the state of California. I have a great burden. I happen to believe that as California goes, so goes the nation. And sometimes folks say, "Well, there's a lot of Californians moving to this state," and they're saying, "Don't send them. We don't want them." You know why? Because the fact of the matter is that this state needs revival. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if someday people said, "Hey, send us some missionaries from that righteous state of California, because we need help in our state. They're not saying it exactly that way right now, but come on, you can dream with me just a little bit. There's about 36 graduates from West Coast Baptist College who are now pastoring in the state of California. But you know what we need? We need about 360 or 3,600. We need more and more preachers that would go out in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And sometimes we look at our state or our city, or we even look at our own lives and we feel like, how's that ever going to happen? How are we going to see God do that work? And we must recognize that He is able. Unto Him that is able. I want you to say that with me again. Unto Him that is able. He is our enabling supply. And I don't know what your challenge is tomorrow morning. I just know you have one, right? I think for most of you, it's going to be something called an alarm clock. And I'm here to tell you, He is able. And I'm here to tell you, He'll give you that first step and that next step, and He'll help you. And He wants you to walk in the Spirit even tomorrow. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. But not only is He our enabling supply, I want you to notice in verse 20, He's our abundant supply. And I've been a pastor here for 32 years, and I want to tell you something. Every year has seen special blessings from the Lord, but I'm so thankful tonight for the fact that He has not run out of blessings and supply for His church. In fact, Jesus said, He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to recognize tonight that our God has an abundant supply. Look at that in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Dr. John R. Rice often said that all of our failures are prayer failures. Perhaps some of us would say, you know, I invited, I gave candy corn, I offered all these things. I'm going to pray a little extra this week because I believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The word exceeding means, of course, beyond. And the word abundantly speaks that to the fact that He is our source of abundance. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly, notice the next phrase, above all that we would ask or think. I truly believe this. I believe that many times we limit God by our lack of faith. I believe we think to ourselves, you know, I don't know that that guy can get saved. I don't know that I can be a soul winner. I don't know that we could ever see revival in our day or in our state. And as long as we think that way, we'll never see it happen. But when we believe that God is able, and by the way, how many of you believe God is able? He really is. He's able to save. He's able to restore. He's able to heal. He is a mighty, mighty God. And we must never forget the inexhaustive power of God to provide for all of our needs. And I often say in a night like tonight that we're going to be tired but happy. And I don't know about you. I'm always happy to hear about people that got saved. I recognize sometimes there are seasons when we are physically weary, but God's power will never run out. And so I see here the provision of power that God and God alone can give. But notice, secondly, I want you to see the purpose of this power. Why does God want to enable us? So that we can run marathons, so that we can brag about what happens. Why does God give us this power? Look back at verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, the first reason and the first way that God works in us is for the purpose of salvation. We call it regeneration. It is to be born again. And isn't it wonderful when you see someone who receives Christ as their Savior and the burden is lifted and you can sense within their heart the joy of knowing that they're saved? And what is that? That's not church membership. And that's not joining the church. That is their sins have been lifted from off of them, and they now have a home in heaven, and that is the result of God working in their heart, like the young lady said a moment ago. By the way, have you noticed that ladies typically take a little longer to share their testimony? Just a thought, but I did notice that tonight. I was timing. Guys get up and say, thank God we had 14 visitors and 12 saved. Thank you very much, you know. And but anyways, that was wonderful. And what I want you to realize is that when someone gets saved, when someone is saved, burdens are lifted. And I think it was Harina who said that her friend said to her, something deep inside of me changed when I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, we can witness and we can preach and teach, but only God has the power to change a heart. And this is what we must never forget, that God is able. And that power, the purpose of that is to change hearts. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that doesn't matter if someone is Spanish or Korean or deaf language or an engineer out at the base or retired or in a rest home. God's power can touch and change lives for his honor and glory. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And I'm thankful tonight that we don't have to feel all of the burden of having success in one area or another. Our responsibility is to walk with God and to spread the seed of the gospel, and God has plenty of power to touch and to change a life. And so the purpose of this power is that people might be saved. But also, not only is it to work in us for salvation, but this power, listen very carefully, is to work in us for sanctification. Sanctification. Did you notice in verse 20 that this power worketh in us? I want you to understand that this is a constant working. In other words, God does not simply save us and then, all right, that's all I needed. See you later. How many of you are thankful the Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform the doing of it? In other words, God's not finished with us yet. How many of you look at your spouse and say, thank the Lord? You look at a friend and say, boy, I'm glad to hear you say that. How many of you would admit, I am a work in progress tonight, right? What I want you to realize is there are some who say, well, I don't have to worry anymore. I don't have to think anymore about growth in Christ because it was all settled the day I got saved. Now listen, when you got saved, it was settled. You're sanctified. You're forgiven. You have a position in Christ. But then there's this matter of letting God continue to work in you. And that is what is called sanctification. God says, I want to work in you for the purpose of salvation, but I want to keep working in you after you are saved. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3, according to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that when you were saved, though you have an old Adamic body and nature, how many of you are thankful and believe that when you were saved, you were indwelt by the Spirit of God, by a new nature, the presence of God came into your life? It's a divine nature. And God says, I want you to be filled with my Spirit. I want you to walk. I want you to put off the old and put on the new. And so, yes, we are saved and we are forgiven and we are redeemed, and God has power to save, but God has power to sanctify. And the Bible here says he worketh in us. It doesn't say he worked in us when we got saved. He's still working in us. And by the way, when you feel conviction and when you feel a prompting of the Holy Spirit, don't call that conviction guilt and say, yeah, whatever. When God's working in you, thank God you can still feel it. Because some Christians, their conscience has come to the place where they have grieved God and they have quenched God and they have a seared conscience and they barely feel even the presence of God. But we have a God who loves us, and he'll work in your heart this week, but we must hear him gladly. And so the provision of power is mighty, and the purpose of power is for salvation and continual sanctification. He wants to work in you tomorrow. But I want you to notice finally this evening the product of God's power. Why does God work in us? Well, he loves us, to be sure. Why does God work in us? He wants the world to be saved, absolutely. But I want you to see what I really believe is the purpose of all of this, even a day like today. I want you to see what it's really all about. In verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I'd like you to read that with me, would you? Let's all get our eyes on it, and let's read verse 21 together very quickly. Ready, begin. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Do you know that when we as a church are provided this power that is able to help us to see exceeding and abundantly above all that we would ask or think, that when God provides this power, and that when we are saved, and that when we continue to grow, the outgrowth of that, the final product of our growth and of our witness, is not to bring glory back to ourselves, but it's that Jesus would be glorified in the church. That the world would see a church that's on fire for him and witnessing for him. They may not always appreciate. Listen, not everybody whose door I knocked upon last week was extremely appreciative, but everybody that we spoke to last week would testify to the fact the church of Jesus Christ is still alive and on the move and still witnessing for Jesus Christ. And for even that fact, God gets the glory. God then receives glory in the church. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ. When souls are saved, when our lives are sanctified, and when we're living lives that are pleasing to the Lord in the sense of acknowledging him and walking with him, then the Lord gets glory through lives like that and through churches like that. And he will not only receive glory during this lifetime, but I believe this. I believe that for all of eternity, we're going to be praising God for people who were saved today. And that we'll praise God that we were able to witness and sing and play and give and invite and hand a bulletin and rock a baby and have anything to do with bringing others to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The Bible says in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And our purpose today, simply stated, as we come to the final moments of this day, is to praise and honor and give glory to God for the great things that he has done. We had a couple that visited today as our guest, and Terry and I sat down with them here on the campus and just had a bite to eat after the service and wanted to hear their testimony and ask them if they knew for sure if they died they would spend eternity into heaven. And they shared a testimony that was a clear salvation testimony, and we talked a little bit about their journey of faith and things of this nature. And after we had lunch, they walked in here into this auditorium, and they looked around, and they had been in this service at 11. They'd seen various folks around the campus. And these folks have been in some various types of churches during their life. But the man looked at me, and he said, you know, it's been a long time since I've seen people at an altar like I saw this morning. It's been a long time since I've seen a church so engaged in the Great Commission. And they looked all around this building. He said this, God is doing something special in this place. Folks, I want to tell you, I'd rather hear that all day long than, Pastor, that was a good sermon. I love it when someone says, God is doing something special in this place. To God be the glory for the great things he has done.